up through Imodium, and like I did it. I did it. It was the worst flight of my life. I literally had these visions of like me pooping my pants and them having to like turn the plane around and deboard me and then like serve me with a bunch of fines for being irresponsible for knowingly flying this ill.
Welcome to a new episode of Momlandia by Famtography. It's your host, Teresa, Sarah, and Sarah. And we thought we'd start off this episode by addressing our podcast went viral. Actually, correction, our podcast did not go viral. A clip from within the podcast went viral. But did anyone listen to the podcast? No, they didn't listen to the full story. So let's talk about it.
And then we're going to dive into everything travel with kids, travel without kids, travel with toddlers, the guilt, the work. But yes, why don't you both dive into that? Because I have the privilege to just not have to deal with any of these comments because I don't have these apps on my phone. T, you're holding the fort down. And Sarah, what happened?
I posted, sorry, Sarah, I posted, it was a 30-second clip of your story on getting an epidural, or not getting an epidural, sorry. To clarify, everyone, Sarah did not get an epidural.
Yeah, she's people a medical-free queen.
Yeah. And people are going wild in the comments about how we're irresponsible by encouraging epidurals.
But I think the key thing was Sarah compared epidurals to other medical procedures where it's like, hey, you're getting a vasectomy. If you want to do this the right way and experience it naturally, no free pain freezing for you, where childbirth is the only scenario where you're expected to live through the pain.
Correct. Yeah. I'm here to break my silence. I think it is really interesting. Some of these comments, and we should say, like, first of all, I did not feel like it was like an avalanche of hate. And I think that also the fact that like any clip is going to be devoid of a certain amount of context. So the fact that I was the one who was like, I went into birth not wanting any form of medical interventions. I didn't get them. But that coming out of it, it was sort of this feeling of like, why did I do that? Like, what was the benefit? Like, there's more to kind of my birth story that we may eventually kind of like get into in other episodes for each of us, I think. But I'm not shocked by that response. And I feel like it's really interesting because I think it leads into kind of some of what I was saying. And the big objection that I noticed from people was that it was like, oh, you're pretending that birth is the same as surgery, or you're pretending that birth is the same as another medical event, where it's like, you know, oh, I'm not going to make any comparisons. It's going to be triggering for somebody no matter what I pick. But yeah, just this idea that birth is supposed to be like natural and beautiful. And I think that that is great when it works out that way. And I would say my counter argument to that is that I know a ton of people who wound up having to have interventions that they didn't want, and they feel enormous guilt over it, even though, you know, maybe they wouldn't be here, maybe their kids wouldn't be here. And I think that this attitude of it's not a medical procedure adds to some of that shame, where like if you had somehow done the right things, been strong enough, you wouldn't have needed these things. Like, it is because you failed that you needed these things. And I think that is equally problematic, if not more so. And my last rant is that the idea that it's not a medical procedure is a really interesting one to me, because even if you go 100%, like we're gonna move free birthing off into its own category for a second in order for me to make this statement. But All midwives are medical practitioners. They have to have medical knowledge. They have to go through medical school. They are acknowledging that this is a medical process, even if there is something quote unquote natural about it. So that is my jumble of feelings about this. And also to say, like, sure, it is not the same as like needing surgical care following an injury. I acknowledge that those are two different things. I think the vasectomy one is probably closer to being kind of a more accurate comparison. But I think that it is at least worth questioning why we tell women, hey, here's this enormously painful event that you may or may not want pain management for, if there's time, if you're able, any number of factors, and that we treat it like it is an endurance test. And I think that there is, I think that there's something about that that can lead to shame, and it can lead to feeling less than. Yeah. I should also say I did have a teeny bit of pain management, and this is very much TMI, but we did have a surprise episiotomy right at the end. And I will tell you, that was not fun, but they did give me some local. So I did not do it 100%.
You're getting canceled because you didn't do this 100% pain-free, and you are a hypocrite.
Thank you.
Also, I'd like to add that this whole narrative of shaming women, and it's like, for me, I had like really severe preeclampsia where it had to be out ASAP and my epidural wore off. So I wouldn't even get an epidural again, but I am all for it when people want it. I think T years worked pretty solid, didn't it?
I think so. Like, yeah. I did not feel completely numb like the way they say you feel. I could still feel myself pushing. I knew when to stop. Well, I guess you don't really know when you're tearing, but like I could still feel the contractions. I can feel myself pushing. So I don't know why people are so against it, but.
And then there was one other comment to you posted this one in our Slack of being like, you're missing the point of childbirth or of like having children. And it's like, I'm not having children to experience this painful thing. I'm having kids because I want the kids. Like I don't ever want to go through pregnancy again or birth ever again. Like if we want more kids, we're adopting because it was that traumatic for me. Mm-hmm. So like to say that the point of having kids is to experience the birth is like so, that's so stupid to me.
But I think it's wonderful for those who do think of birthing as this like beautiful experience beyond just the end result of having a child.
Yeah.
Like, that's great for them.
Definitely a cool experience. You
know? Yeah.
That I'll never want to experience again.
I will throw in, like, I am genuinely, I don't know if this makes me like a glutton for punishment. I would truly love to go through birth again. And maybe that is because while the circumstances around the birth were traumatic, like my actual birth went pretty well and my actual pregnancy went pretty well, like very much until it didn't. But that even in that process, I could take a beat and go like, great that this worked for me. That is not everyone's experience. And I will throw out, like, I'll just say this for myself, is that like, yes, I had like a smooth pregnancy until it wasn't. And then I had like a reasonably okay birth, again, until the very end. But I think part of the thing for me is that when people say like, this isn't a medical procedure, like this isn't a medical process, like, you know, this is such a narrow viewpoint and you're looking at it from such a whatever, my kid would not be here without medical advances because, like, again, I'm sure we will have birth stories at some point, but like I went into labor at 33 weeks. Like my kid wouldn't be here if this was like 200 years ago.
Same.
And I will throw out, just as somebody who did like obsessive preemie Googling, all of those resources that are like Mark Twain was born at 31 weeks. His mother is lying. Let's be clear about that. Like that's, I think we just need to acknowledge these things are not possible, given that like the lungs are not fully formed until 34 weeks. So like, I'm sure he was a little
who
early.
Is Mark Twain?
Sarah.
Is he a basketball player?
Stop it.
I'm serious. Okay, sorry. A runner? What is he?
Mark Twain is a 19th century American writer, of novels and letters, including like Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer.
Why would have read his books?
Why can't he be a preemie? Oh, because it's back in the day.
I would say because it's back in the day, because if he was truly born before 34 weeks, his lungs would not have been fully formed. And I believe, I haven't looked into this extensively, I'm making this up, but I believe that like you would not have had the apparatuses available. Like my kid needed to be in like an incubation machine and be like tubed.
Yeah.
So, I'm just thinking about you knowing who Mark Twain is. You would have read his book in high school.
I don't recognize that name at all. I thought he was like some like 7-foot basketball player. Like, there's no way that kid's a preemie because you should be tiny.
This is, I mean, if you didn't read the books, that you definitely saw the Wishbone. So I think, oh my God.
Wait, Wishbone the dog?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of the best Wishbones. So
I'm here. I know who you're talking about now.
Okay.
Well, let's move on because I don't want to give too much attention to our haters.
Hey moms, does your partner just suck at taking photos so you don't have any pictures with your kids? Or if they do take your photo, you don't love them because they're blurry or the lighting's bad or it's just an awful angle? Well, you need to check out Famtography. Famtography will text your partner with a photo prompt and a bite-sized tutorial each week so they can learn and capture a candid photo with you and them in less than 5 minutes. Moms, you can get photos with your kids that you love without having to ask. I'll leave all the details in the show notes.
Let's dive into travel. Okay, so I did a trip to Hawaii with my kids a few weeks ago, and Sarah has a trip coming up, a work trip, and she's gone on other work trips without her kid, as have I, and also for leisure. And T is dipping her toes into the water of leaving her child for travel.
Yes.
So what do we want to start with first? I can dive into my literal shit show of a story with my travel experience.
I do feel like you do have a lot of stories.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. So we booked a trip to Hawaii, and I actually want to make one of those like mind map things of like, should you travel? Like, are you bringing an in-law or a parent to help? Like with
it's
the
like,
kids
no.
when you're there.
Should I travel? No. Goes back to no.
I think, first of all, you need to go into the mindset that this is not a vacation. It is literally your life at home, but somewhere warm, which is still great. The boys had traveled at 6 months back east on the east coast of Canada to where our families live. And that was really stressful. I was literally having heart palpitations before that. I thought I was like having a heart attack. So I went to the hospital. That's how stressed I was about the travel. But anyway, Hawaii, I'm like, my mom's with us now. We're going somewhere warm. Don't have to pack as much. They don't need like we literally brought their baby Bjorn bouncer chairs back east with us. Like it was a circus. Oh, and our dog. So going to Hawaii was without the dog, without all that shit you need when your kid, you know, is not walking yet, like bouncers. On the way there, it was good. Like so we had, the flight was pretty empty. We had like full rows to ourselves. It was awesome. The boys did not sleep at all. So it was like, it was challenging in the sense that you had to keep them entertained for like 6 hours straight.
What time was the flight at?
I think it was at like 9 a.m. So they like typically the boys nap for about 2 to 3 hours every day in the afternoon. So they didn't nap. But anyway, it was fine because we had all this space around us. You know, we're going on vacation. We're feeling good. We get there and like they're wired running around. Their favorite part of the trip, I'm pretty sure, was the screen door in the condo. I feel like I'm like, it's so like I've blocked out so many details already from it. But essentially what happened was a few days in, Weston puked all over me. And then like I was puking and then Charlie ended up puking when we got home. But like the day we were leaving, like, so there's a few solid good days of the trip and that was good. I would not do this again if I had like a fortune ball to see what that trip would have been, because on the way back I had either norovirus or stomach flu and like was literally pooping water out like every 5 fucking minutes. It was so disgusting. I've never experienced this in my life. And we had to fly home that day. And the responsible thing to do would have been just to stay back and delay my flight. But no, I was determined to get home. So yeah, I popped 3 Imodium and like, I did it. I did it. It was the worst flight of my life. I literally had these visions of like me pooping my pants and them having to like turn the plane around and deboard me and then like serve me with a bunch of fines for being irresponsible for knowingly flying this ill.
Wait, you did take the test after to see if it was any virus, right? And it was going to take longer than 5 days. What were the results?
No, the test only, so the test, the doctor like didn't know what he was talking about. It was testing for salmonella, basically like food poisoning and what was the other one? It can't detect viruses. He says the only way to do that is in a hospital. So I don't know I don't know what it was. It was a virus.
I see.
But then I got a second spout of it a week later. So it took like, by the time we got home, I was just so tired and sick. I had to take a week off work to recover. And then I got it again, but this time worse, but with vomiting. So I don't know. The trip was good, but it was just like a lot of work. And when I weigh the cost for the amount of like days that were actually
enjoyable.
Yes. It was like, it was not worth it for me. And like, I don't think I would do anything like that again without a parent there. Cause having my, like without my mom there or like one of my in-laws.
And how long were you gone for again? So like out of, let's say it was like 7 days, were you guys sick for like 4 of 7 days or?
I would say between 4 and 3 days. But keep in mind, it took a few days to adjust because the boys didn't sleep for like almost 24, not 24 hours, maybe like 20 hours straight.
Yeah.
So like, I remember getting up the next day and like had my like, I brought our bike trailer as the stroller because it has lots of storage in the back. Like packed up all the beach shit, walked like 10 minutes down the road to the beach and like got there. The boys were just like screaming their heads off. Like didn't want their floaty things on, didn't want to go near the water, just wanted to cling off me and scream. Everyone was staring at me. I was so stressed and tired because I hadn't, Charlie like didn't sleep that night at all. He was just like in and out of our bed the whole night. It was just really stressful. And like, I recognize I'm so privileged to be able to go to Hawaii for a week with my family, but it was stressful.
Yeah.
New environments are stressful with little kids. You need a few days to like acclimatize to sleep schedules, to new temperatures, to environment, to food. Then you need like, I'd say a solid week of enjoyment. And then, I mean, I couldn't obviously plan the getting sick thing, but that was that. And then on the way home, it was a full flight. So, and the kids were on our lap and I felt like literal shit. So, and the boys didn't sleep again. So that was just like hell on earth on that flight home. I like wanted to kiss the ground when we landed.
Yeah, I was on a flight back from London. The last time I traveled for work. So that was back in February, I think. And there was this poor couple. They only had the one baby, but it was like, we got delayed 3 hours right from the start, but they didn't let us deplane. And so I watched slowly as like the hope died from the parents' eyes as they were like juggling the baby and like walking up and down the aisle. And then like, just slowly you could tell they were like, I don't know if we can survive like a 12-hour journey inside like this tin can.
And I don't know if you guys are like this, but even though like I'm kind of a Karen sometimes and have no problem confronting people, if like it calls for it. I am a people pleaser, so like I am just so stressed the whole time. You see these fucking videos go viral on TikTok of being like, look at this irresponsible parent, or this kid screaming the whole flight. I'm just like, oh my god, someone's gonna like post a video of us of our kids screaming. The boys did fine, like they screamed a little bit, but like they were pretty content as long as we were like engaged with them, which was no problem. Well, for my mom and my husband, because I was just like a vegetable. But yeah, like I think that stress, like no one will be more stressed traveling. If you're sitting beside a screaming baby for the whole flight, I can guarantee you there's no one more stressed than that mom. Like I don't care how annoying you think it is, that mom is probably, or that's how I operate anyways. Maybe like some moms are more like chill about that and they don't give a fuck, but I give lots of fucks. I literally bought the guy beside me like, he asked the guy for like nuts or whatever, and he's like, oh, that's like $6. He's like, oh, I thought they were free. He's like, no, I'm like, I'll buy them for you. I'm so sorry you have to
okay. come with us. Let me ask the question though about that. Do you feel like you have to, okay, you know how you've heard stories of moms like putting like little earplugs and like a little package for everyone around them? Do you think that's necessary when you're traveling with kids? Like, I don't think that's, like, sure, do that, but I don't know.
I think it's a nice gesture, but, like, you shouldn't have to do that. Like, babies are a part of this world, and they're allowed to go on planes. If you don't like that, you can charter your own fucking private jet and get strippers on it if you want and go to town. Like... it's the way of the world. Like, what do you want? Get noise blocking headphones. That's on you. Like, the mom's already trying to do everything she can to calm the baby down. No one wants a screaming baby, and the kid is probably suffering in some way or another if they're screaming. Their ears are probably hurting. They can't communicate what's happening. Like, there's loud noises, whatever the issue is. But, like, would I do that? Yes, I would.
Yeah, I think that's the core of it. It's sort of like I can get really passionate about like, and also I will say for this flight, like, yeah, that kid was crying. Of course that kid was crying. It was it wound up being a 12-hour journey. Like, yeah. I wanted to cry. Everybody wanted to cry. And so like in that moment, it was maybe it is easier because I am a parent, even though I haven't taken my kid on a plane yet, but I had such an easy time being like, that sucks. I am so glad I am not that person right now. And I think if I had been offered like a treat to compensate me, I think I would have a very easy time of being like, girl, let me buy you a wine. Like, this is nuts. But it does flip around to like, would I be constantly like apologizing and like, mm-hmm. like off? Of course. And I think it is unfair. We don't have time for another rant. But I will say,
yes, we do. That's what we're here for. Serve the rants.
But this is, I think, this is a really, really big thing for me, is that I have also seen these viral videos of like the one that went viral a couple weeks ago, the guy screaming at a baby on a flight.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, he eventually got arrested. So whatever. But
right.
It is, I think it's a combination of thinking like, yeah, like, I'm sorry, the world involves babies. You were once a baby somebody else had to put up with. I'm sorry, this is tough for you. You are not the person having the roughest time on this flight right now. Sorry. And the fact that I think that there's this real rise in anti-child, anti-parent sentiment, I think that there's a lot underneath that like I do not have the psychological capabilities to completely unpack at the moment. But I do think that there's a real feeling of like, man, you are the person acting like a child right now. You are acting like a child if you expect the world to be free of children, because God forbid you go to a restaurant, you go to a movie theater, you go to wherever, provided that is appropriate. And it's like, you know, what is a truly child-free space that is something we are comfortable mentioning on this podcast? Like, there's very few places where it's like, it's not explicitly like, you are doing drugs and you have strippers on your private plane, like, that is a child-free space. I'm very happy for that to be a child-free space. Versus, like, even the restaurant discussion. Like, you know, it's weird because people understand it with dogs, where it's like, yeah, that dog might bark a bit. The more that, like, we get that dog out in public, meeting other dogs, meeting kids, meeting other adults, that dog will settle. That dog will socialize. But somehow we're not able to extend that. Well, but like somehow we're not able to extend it. Yeah. That it's like, oh no, kids need to be like hidden away until they're ready for this. They're never going to be ready for it if you ban them from public space.
Also, I think some of the like hate comes from, and I don't know if this is the case with these viral videos at all, but it's like, the parent who doesn't seem to give a shit that their kid is acting like they're ripping the place apart. I think if you're making an effort to show you're trying to like manage the situation, then like, why are you hating on it? You know?
But sometimes I feel like you reach a certain point with where there's nothing you can do until you, I don't know, wait it out. No?
I have definitely...
I guess it depends on the scenario. Like,
yeah.
If I was hour five into our, like, of a six-hour flight, and I was just like, okay, go run up and down the aisles. Like, provided they're old enough that they can do that without touching every single person, because we had to, like, walk them up and down. I think you're showing that, like, effort at the beginning, that you're trying to control it versus... What was that one a few weeks ago also where it's like the flight attendant demanded the pregnant mom, sorry, I don't know why I did quotes, the pregnant mom pick up the goldfish or whatever on the floor?
Yeah, that was like a sports star. And I had feelings about that as well. I think like...
What were your feelings?
Well,
do we have time for her feelings?
I can schedule in shorter feelings. I think that was a difficult one because it was sort of like on the one hand, like, yeah, that is a big mess. I think it was like popcorn or something, which like choking hazard. So not to mom shame.
Canceled.
Choking hazard, canceled. But yeah, is that on the one hand, you kind of want to be like, yeah, it is somewhat unfair to know that you're making that much mess. On the flip side, anyone with toddlers knows, like, you give them to some extent, you have to give in. Because you will go crazy trying to constantly control them. As like a mini version of this, I did a 5K on the weekend.
Oh, and they had congrats. Like, you did a BMO? Thank you.
No. I did BMO last year and I just knew I was going to like wind up with a foot injury if I tried to do like 10K. So I did a 5K through beautiful New Westminster.
Nice.
And then we had like a big stage set up at the end where they were like giving away prizes and you could go get beer because it was sponsored by our local brewery. And like my kid just kept running across the stage. And this is kind of like it's an open air place. Like it was not during like the actual like metal presentations or anything. But it was that thing of like, I can't run and grab her and physically hold her. Like she will scream. She's going to like kick out. Like she is going to want to go. Every time I put her down and I'm like, oh, let's go over here. And like, nope, she's going to zoom across that stage. And so there was a degree to which I had to go like, okay, I can let her zoom. I can also let everyone see, like, we're handling it. We're watching her. We're not, like, laughing and pretending it's fine.
Wasted on the sidelines, like, where's my kid?
Right. And it's like, it's not like, oh, it's everyone else's problem. It's, she's going to race across. Those moments
happen, too. Sorry, go ahead.
No. But it was, like, an effort to say, like, I know this is not ideal. I'm going to grab her as soon as she's gotten that out of her system. She is not going to fall. If she does fall, that is obviously my responsibility, not yours. Like if she, you know, hits somebody, that's my responsibility, not yours. I think that is right. I think that there's a feeling of like, oh, entitled, selfish parents. And I think for people who don't have kids or who had kids so long ago that they don't remember how stressful this time period is, there's that feeling of like, well, can't you just control them? And it's like, I wish you luck in trying to control a kid between the ages of like 2 and 4. I just so far, like up to a point, I can stick her in a stroller and we can move away. I could, like, there are things that I can do, but there is a limit to that where it's also like, she also just deserves to be a person in the world navigating the world. And I, you know, there are times I'm going to get that right. There are going to be times I get it wrong, but like, I am trying to figure out when to go grab her and when to just let her run in a metaphorical sense.
Yeah. And I think, well, you're there to guide her and make sure it's like a safe space for her to explore that. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's dive into traveling without your kid and all the freaking guilt that comes with that.
Yeah, how are you preparing for your work trip? How long are you gone for?
So I am gone for 17 days.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a lot. I know, like, you both have experience or will have experience with this as well. So, like, I'm not going to hog this whole section. But what I will say is the longest I've been away before this was one full week. That was a lot. I think my partner was sparing my feelings a bit in terms of, like, he may not have been 100% honest with me about, like, how much she was maybe melting down while I was gone. He is a lovely he is a lovely and wonderful and supportive parent. For reasons that have nothing to do with his devotion to his daughter, I am currently the preferred parent. So there is tension there in terms of, if I go, she is going to miss me, obviously. Even though he is 100% capable. So I'm going to be gone for 17 days this time. It's interesting because it's like, it is definitely going to be really big for my career. And so it is a good thing to go. It is a good thing to be able to, like, to fully be committed. I will be basically in our international offices strategizing, like, a massive campaign push. I'm in marketing copywriting, if I haven't mentioned that before, strategizing a big campaign push and possibly also working with the CEO on, like, their voice and tone guide. Like, maybe, maybe not. The CEO kind of flits in and out. We will find out if we see him at all. But that's sort of the vibe, as it were. And
do you have an option to turn down the work trip out of curiosity?
Like, yeah.
How does that work? Like, because, sorry, I work for myself, if that wasn't clear. Dentography. So, like, what's the policy on that for, like, work travel in the general 9-to-5 corporate world and your parent?
Well, yeah. It is always presented to me as, like, look, on the one hand, we don't want it to feel like, you know, you're being given an out because you're a parent. On the flip side, it does make sense to, like, acknowledge that you are a parent and that you have other obligations that, you know, people who aren't parents don't have. So I had the option to turn it down. The problem is that only I really do what I do at our company. We have other copywriters, but in terms of, like, my specific role and what I'm responsible for. And so it was one of those things where it was like, you can totally turn this down. Or I also had the option to only go for 1 week, but in doing so, I'd be working on the execution week instead of the strategy week, which in some ways would have been less valuable. So there were options. And, like, I will be 100% truthful also in saying that this is a trip to the UK. Where we will actually be staying is not that exciting. But I now have the option. I'm going to be doing, like, a 3-day weekend in London.
Nice.
So, like, I'm turning it into a mini vacation for myself because I'll have that time in
as you
the
should.
You deserve it.
Thank you, Queens. Yes.
but you'll, like, get that wine at the airport.
Yeah, I will get my airport wine. Are you a wine mom now?
Sorry.
I will actually say I'm not, and it's not even like it's been a conscious choice. I just, like, it's alcohol has held very little appeal for me since I've had a kid. Not to flex, but it's just like, it also just feels like I don't have the time.
And it's not worth the shit feeling the next day when you have to look after children. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. So you're getting a mini vacation. I think T asked, what are you doing to prepare for this? Like, your partner is, like, does he have support?
So I will confess, it is in 2 days. I have not packed. Why would I? So I'll get on that eventually. No, so I feel like at some point we should, again, I'll keep saying this and it feels like a teaser. We should do, like, a longer episode on this at some point, but I am really, really, really lucky in terms of, like, I had a partner who took 6 months parental leave. He is fully engaged and fully capable. That sounds like damning with faint praise, but he is fully engaged and fully capable of taking care of her. He is going to have to slightly shorten his work day to make this happen because he works in the trades. He'd normally start at like 7 a.m. That's not going to work for daycare drop off. So he is having to make a sacrifice through this, which I am really acknowledging. But also he lives close enough to his mom. So if our kid gets sick and needs to like stay off, but he definitely needs to work, he can take her to his mom's house. And like in the evenings post-work or on the weekend when he has just hit a limit being a solo parent, he can go to his mom's house and like it's an extra pair of hands to help him look after her. So I would say to like wrap this up, like it's a constant back and forth in my mind where it's like, I'm really excited for the trip for my career because I love London, because like, this is going to be really fun. I get to wake up at like 7 a.m., which is going to be so exciting. And I'm going to plan to like, I've planned out like my running route in the area. And it's going to be so really beautiful.
I'd be like, I am sleeping for 2 weeks and I'm ordering takeout and getting room service and I will not see the light of day.
Well, I mean that too.
It kind of reminds me of like, you know, when you used to travel and you would bring running shoes because you think, oh, I'm going to work out at the gym.
Oh my God.
Never works out at the gym.
I will say the one of the times that I went running on like a work trip before this, which was actually before kids, I got up very ambitious. We were staying up in Whistler at this resort. I got up, I put on my running shoes, I got my whole gear, I did my warm up, I'm out the door, I'm jogging. And then we go along this lake and I see, like, quick trigger warning for anybody who's upset by poop, I'm sorry. I see this like pile of poop and I'm like, huh, that looks like bear poop. And I keep running, turn the corner, and there's a bear.
Holy shit, are you serious?
But he was like foraging in like the little area there, so he didn't see me. And so I just did like my bear aware training. So I just very slowly and deliberately backed up, kept my eyes down. And then once I was out of sight of the bear, ran in the opposite direction, which should have taught me a lesson, but I will run. So.
Well, I don't think there's too many bears in the UK.
No. Hopefully. No, they do. But have
also,
foxes,
if that was me, though, I would have been like, camera, let's film this. Running away from a bear.
I think I did record a story once I was out of bear shot, as it were. And I like took a picture of just like the lake and I was like, LOL, just saw a bear. Hit send on the story, but then like ran back to the hotel, had a shower. Like
everyone's like, are you alive?
Yes. So I showed up to the buffet and everyone was like, we haven't heard from you in 2 hours. the last thing anyone saw was this story about you seeing a bear. So anyway, I'm still going to go for a bear-free run. But yeah, so it's a constant vacillation between all that stuff sounds exciting and I will have these really intrusive thoughts like, what kind of horrible mother leaves their kid for 2 weeks? Like, how could you enjoy this? Like, how is this possible? And so even with my partner being fully capable, even though I know he's going to do everything he can to like make me feel reassured and like, he's not going to listen to this. So I'm probably going to like set him up with like a massage partway through that time period. And like, maybe like get a house cleaner or something for one of the days just so that like, it's a little bit off of him.
That's nice. Can I quickly share about my first trip away from the boys? Well, actually it wasn't because I had gone home for 2 weddings for like a quick trip before, but anyway, I went to Mexico in whatever, early December, late November. I land, it's like a quick 4-day trip to visit our friend. I land, my phone is bombarded with text messages from Bobo that my child had possibly broken his leg. So within the span of having my data on for 30 seconds to respond this, I get 2 texts from TELUS being like, you're $50 in roaming charges. You're $100 in roaming charges. I'm like, what the hell? I'm not like scrolling TikTok. Where's all this data going? Anyway, so yeah, I had to cut that trip short. Cut that trip short because
you could no longer afford it after all those data charges.
Yeah.
Yeah, Weston broke his leg.
Oh,
when really? I was in the freaking air on the way down to Mexico. Poor child. Poor
buddy.
But she did say, I will never travel again. And we do have trips planned, so.
I say that after every trip. I'm like, I'm never traveling again. Like, let me just book my next vacation 1 week later. But Bobo was really good. He sounds like James Sarah, where it's like, sorry, do you want me to say his name? I could
say it's fine.
Okay. well, now that it's out, James, he like not pretends, but he kind of like masks how good things are going to make me feel better about being on vacation. Cause instantly I'm like, okay, I'm at the airport. Should I just go back on a plane and come home? He's like, I got this. Let me take him to the hospital. Like, it's not for sure. Like, it wasn't an obvious break. It was like on his like shin. But then he got like a fever 2 days later. I'm like, that's it. I'm not enjoying this anymore because I'm so stressed. I'm coming home. And he's like, yes, you should come home now. I'm like, okay, things are really bad because now you are agreeing for me to come home versus before you're like, this happened. I've got it under control. And I will add, because we don't have any family in Vancouver, we had to get our friend who had a 3-day newborn, the dad, he had to come over and watch Charlie while Bobo took Weston to the ER. So I just felt like fucking awful. Here I am having a margarita on a beach when like my husband's in the ER with my poor child and a broken leg and our friend's like not getting newborn time because he's looking after our other child. And now I'm repeating this trip all over again. T, how are you feeling about, Teresa and I are going to California for work in a few weeks now. You did like a little test trial on leaving your child a few weeks ago. How are you feeling about our trip, which is a bit longer than your test trial?
I'm trying not to think about it too much because I know I'll overthink. But yeah, I don't know if this is like an postpartum anxiety. At what stage do you stop calling it postpartum anxiety? Like, is it the rest of your life?
I think so.
I'm postpartum rest of my life, right?
Yeah.
I think postpartum is in the first few months from what I researched for like PPD and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Maybe you just have general anxiety due to having a child.
Postpartum. That is accurate. I did have anxiety before having a child, so that tracks. But I have this like thought that I will die if I'm traveling, and what will he do without me? So I'm trying not to think about it too much because I know I'll go down rabbit holes and then not be able to sleep because of it.
Those are really scary thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I think that stuff makes sense because you're so much more aware of how like tethered to things you are. That sentence doesn't make any sense. You're so much more aware of how tethered you are to things after having a kid. I will say I have not had those thoughts, but I've had the opposite, which is like, I'm worried something horrible is going to happen while I am gone. Mm. And so it's things like I'll say to my partner, like, now when you guys are in the parkade, you make sure like you always have like a hand on her because like she likes to run out sometimes from the car, and he'll be like, yeah, I know. I've also been here. Like, yeah. I am also, you know, not wanting our kid to get hit by a car. So yeah, like I think that feels really natural. And I think it's also, it's an interesting thing of, we could talk about mental load for a million years, but I think even when you have a partner who's really supportive and really engaged, there is still something, whether it's society, whether it's, you know, ingrained in us or whatever, that makes you feel like, sure, the other parent is there, but like, what if I'm not here? Because like, then this is how I can make sure everything is safe, that I am the one who is here and taking care of everything.
Yeah. But what you were saying about the preferred parent, I am also the preferred parent. And I have to say the one weekend that we went away and I went away, I think it helped their relationship a bit. Like I think it helped their bonding. So I'm interested to see how they bond after like being away for a week.
That's good. Yeah. I'm also the preferred parent, and I do find whoever is there, like when I'm gone, like they'll just be glued to Bobo in the same way they're glued to me when I'm here.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, saying that too.
They don't seem, and Sarah, I don't know if Z's at this stage, like, is she aware that you're gone? Like, is she like, where's mommy? Where's mommy? Because my kids aren't like, I think they'll say like mama, but like they don't really understand like, oh, I haven't seen her in 2 days. Where is she?
Yeah, I think that switch flips soon because so Zelda is a few months, I think, older than both of your kids. All three of your kids. And
yeah, I've got two. Okay.
I consider them a unit. No, so yeah, she is aware. It's also funny because I've tried to prep her to be like, mommy's gonna go soon. And then she'll go like, no. And then just carry on with whatever she's doing. Where you're like, okay, we'll try this again. I will say, in terms of practical tips, which I don't really have because like you'd have to interview Zelda to find out if this is actually effective for her. But like I try to record videos every night. And so that way, because I'll be on an 8-hour time difference.
Yeah.
So FaceTime is going to be really tough. Yeah. But I try to record videos at night so that he has something to play her in the morning. And then
such a good idea.
And I'm going to record all the songs I normally sing for her in like a pack so that if she's like, when a she
playlist.
Wants
like a Spotify playlist.
Exactly. And so like, it's a little something where he may not need it, but like the morning stuff, I think it would be nice. Like a couple minutes of being like, oh, you know, good morning, sweet pea. How are you? Did you sleep well?
I would call my kids sweet pea too. Sweet peas. Peas in a pod. Sweet. Twins. Mm. Get it? Okay. I feel like that would actually trigger my kids to miss me more.
Mm.
Like then they're like, oh, that's mommy's voice, but where is mommy?
Mm.
That makes sense.
Have you tried this method yet?
That's what we did with the week-long trip.
Okay.
And the like, I think my partner is smart enough to know, like, if she really is melting down, he would send me videos of her talking to me.
Mm.
Like, and also my kid is, how old is she now? She's 2.5, so she would have been just like between 2 and 2.5 when I left last time. There's at least enough awareness that she'll go like, hi, mama. And so there's a little bit there where I think we can have some interaction. And I'll leave it up to him to decide if this is not helpful for her anyway. Mm. But yeah, she is aware. She is aware when I am gone. And I will say this isn't a rant. This is like a self-soothing piece of research that I've done, is that I've been talking to my counselor about this, obviously. And she recommended some resources just on like the nature of attachment. Cause I was like, well, if I leave for 2 weeks, like, is this it? Like I've blown attachment with her. I've blown bonding. Mm-hmm. She's going to spend her whole life like ruined for attachment with other people because like, oh, like mommy's just a person who disappears sometimes. And my counselor effectively had to be like, calm down, crazy. And then also essentially sent me like a number of resources that said a couple of things that I think were really helpful. One is that you need one secure person, but like, if you have two, you have two. And like, you know, like you were saying, Teresa, is giving your son some time to like bond with his dad does mean that like your son invests more in that other person. That's another secure person for him, which is really helpful. And that like proving to your kid that you come back and making it really clear to your kid, like, I missed you. And this was sad that this had to happen, but I'm back and I'm this consistent thing in your life. It is supposed to be helpful, essentially. Mm. I don't know like a better way to say that. And that I think as a more general thing of like, it's like the first time you yell at your kid, which everyone tries not to do, but it is going to happen at some point. It's not the yelling, it's like what you do to repair that is more valuable. So like, I will say, when I came back from the airport after the week-long trip, Zelda kind of tried to cold shoulder me. Like there was a real vibe of like, she literally looked up as I like came out of the gate and came running toward her. And she was like, oh, hi, mama. I was like, excuse me. And so I made a big point of making a huge fuss over her and like picking her up and kissing her and saying how much I missed her. And I could see her kind of working through it and going, okay, this is safe. Okay, you know, mommy isn't pretending that this was normal or that my feelings weren't valid. Or I mean, she's not actively thinking anything. Since God bless, she's 2.5. But like, that was sort of my main takeaway, is that I was a little bit hurt that she wasn't like squealing and running over to me, but there was a real sense of her going like, I feel really confused about what happened. Mm-hmm. And it was my job as a parent to be like, okay, here is how we do this when we come back together, because I missed you so much. And it's safe to tell me that you missed me too.
My kids gave me the cold shoulder too when I went back home for a wedding in the summer. And I'm like, excuse me. Same reaction. But they're back to clinging to me now, so it's all good.
Something to look forward to or mentally prepare myself for. He wasn't like that with 3 days. So.
Yeah.
Great. Right. Do we want to choose a topic for next week, or should we just keep that on the, keep our listeners, our 6 listeners on the edge of their seat?
Yes. Yes, let's do that.
Okay. All right. Well, Sarah, have a lovely trip. And I'll see you at work tomorrow via virtual Slack. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.